dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Keeping It Raw. An awesome speech by a great guy, Martin Luther King Jr. That speech was given on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. If you've never seen it in person, you've got to take a trip, even if it's just for that. But take a trip and see this memorial in person. What you see on TV, what you see in the movies regarding this memorial, it does not do it justice. All the pictures that you can Google of the Lincoln Memorial does not do this place justice. It's one of the greatest places to go to in Washington, D.C., and there's so much history in our nation has taken place on those steps. I remember the first time that I walked up the steps to the Lincoln Memorial, and you know, when you first get there, especially if you're a tourist, you're going to go to the Washington Monument because it's the largest one there. It's out in the open, and that's pretty great. And when I went there, there was a gate around the Washington Monument because you couldn't even get close at that time. They were doing renovations or something. So we walked around it, you know, walked through the World War II Memorial, past the reflecting pool, and up the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. And you have images in your mind of this place. And I was just not even looking up. I was just looking at the steps the whole time. And then when I got to the top, I finally looked up, and I was just in awe. I was not expecting this great statue, the size of the statue. I was not expecting the detail laid out. You know, when you walk in the chamber and on the walls, there are his quotes, including the Gettysburg Address. And it's just awe-inspiring. And the view is just awesome. As you stand on top of the Lincoln Memorial and you look down towards the Washington Monument and the reflecting pool, and on the other side is the U.S. Capitol building, it's just one of the most picturesque places that you won't get good on your phone, that you will not capture well on your phone. It's just a great place, a lot of history. And so it's fitting that this is the site of such a speech as I Have a Dream. In the heart of the nation's capital, in the most beautiful landscape possible, the center of our nation, was this call to action. A dream that was reflected in the words of Martin Luther King. This is Keeping It Raw.
Yo, what's up?
You're listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast.
In January 1929, Michael King Jr. was born. Later, his dad, who was a preacher, would change their names to Martin Luther King, named after Martin Luther, who tacked the 95 Theses on the church in Wittenberg. Martin Luther King was a preacher because of his dad, and he became an activist as a result of Rosa Parks. Because she refused to give up her seat on the bus, he decided that, hey, why don't we do something peaceful? Why don't we stage a boycott? The boycott of the transportation system lasted for a year, but it was his start, and because of that, he felt like he earned the name Martin Luther King. In one of my trips to Washington, I got to eat at the Florida Avenue Grill. It's a little diner, and it's a well-known diner, and it's a really run-down diner. But this is the diner ate at when he planned his march. And I got to go there and sit at the table that he sat at. There's even a little picture there of him sitting at that table. It's pretty cool. A lot of famous people have also ate there, and they have their pictures scattered throughout the place.
When you're down, in trouble, you need some love and care.
Martin Luther King infected people with a willingness to help change. And one of those people that was impacted by this was a friend of his named Billy Graham. They had been friends for a while, and in an effort to help speed things along, Reverend Billy Graham asked Martin Luther King what he could do.
Martin Luther King suggested to me that I stay in the stadiums in the South and hold integrated meetings, because he was probably going to take to the streets. He said, I'll probably stay in the streets and I might get killed in the streets. But he said, I don't think you ought to, because he said, you will be able to do things I can't do, and I can do some things you can't do, but we're after the same objective.
Martin Luther King was Time Magazine's Man of the Year in 1963. He was also the youngest person to receive the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964 at the age of 35. He received the prize because he led nonviolent protests. And while there were many influencers, many people who impacted and affected change with civil rights in the United States, he was the symbolic leader of African Americans in the United States seeking equal and fair treatment. In 1968, Dr. King appeared on The Tonight Show. He showed a different side of himself we don't normally see because of mechanical difficulties on an aircraft he had just flew on.
Finally, we took off and landed, and whenever I land after mechanical difficulties, I'm always very happy. And I don't want to give you an impression that as a Baptist preacher, I don't have faith in God in the air. It's simply that I've had more experience with him on the ground.
A couple minutes walk from the steps on the Lincoln Memorial where he gave the speech, I Have a Dream, is his memorial, the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. When you approach it, you see this mountain of a wall. And as you enter in, you'll notice a piece of the mountain missing. That is a stone taken from the mountain, and his likeness is sculpted into that stone. The mountain represents the mountain of despair, and the stone that is surging forward represents the stone of hope. This theme is a reference line from Martin Luther King's speech, I Have a Dream. In it, and I quote, he says, "With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope." The front of the stone is Martin Luther King. The sides of the stone are scratch marks signifying the struggle of civil rights. The 60s were a time where leaders, world changers, were assassinated. On April 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King was staying at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. King and Reverend Ralph Abernathy were staying in room 306, a room that you can visit to this day in the same condition it was in on that day in 1968. They've since removed the wall and replaced it with a large window, so you can peer into this room that has not changed since that day. The original TV is there. The original bedding is still there. The wall paneling, the coffee mugs, the newspaper from that day, all still in the room. It's a room that is part of a museum for civil rights. And it's frozen in time. At 6 p.m., Martin Luther King was having a meeting for an event that night. Across the street, a man named James Earl Ray was renting a room. With him, he had binoculars and a rifle. There are many conspiracies regarding whether James Earl Ray acted alone or even with government. Many people, including the King family, believe that there was a major conspiracy going on in which the government and the mafia were involved. Back in the 1960s, with all the assassinations, these groups were targets of any accusation like this. Martin Luther King stepped out to the balcony, and as he stepped out, a single shot rang out. It struck him in his cheek and lodged in his shoulder. It had so much power that it blew off his necktie. Martin Luther King was still alive, and he would survive for another hour. As his friends came to his aid, they noticed where the shot came from and immediately pointed in that direction. Witnesses saw James Earl flee, dropping his binoculars and stashing his gun. A manhunt was issued immediately. It wouldn't be until 2 months later that they would catch James Earl Ray. He had made it all the way to Heathrow Airport in London using a fake passport. It was there when they caught him. But James Earl Ray was a poor man. And the way one of King's friends put it, there is no way a 10-cent white boy could develop a plan to kill a $1 million black man. Many believe that James Earl Ray was just a patsy. Some witnesses thought that the shooting came from a different location. But no matter who actually pulled the trigger, the civil rights leader was dead. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan signed into law the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. In 1994, President Bill Clinton signed into law the King Day of Service, a day where around the country you're encouraged to change your community through volunteerism. King's last words were to musician Ben Branch, who was scheduled to perform that night at a planned event. Martin Luther King said, "Ben, make sure you play Take My Hand, Precious Lord in the meeting tonight. Play it real pretty." At Martin Luther King's funeral, Aretha Franklin sang, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand."
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This is Keeping It Raw.
Yo, what's up? You're listening to the Keeping It Raw podcast.